God is good.
Wow. Amen.
Are y'all good today? Praise the Lord with your hands one more time. Let him know that he is glorious, that he's beautiful, and that he's wonderful. I didn't get to say hi to all y'all when you came in, but trust me, I'll try to catch you on the way out. God is good. I'm excited about this resurrection series. I know the world will call it the Easter series, and that's okay with that. But I'm very excited about this morning as we kick off our four-week, you see the slide up there, our four-week Joy 2025 resurrection series. We are going to be talking about joy each and every week. We're not going to be somber. Sometimes we're somber. You know, we're talking about Jesus is going to the cross. Jesus is going to the tomb. But that's a joyous time for us. While it might be sad, it's like a funeral for somebody you know, a friend of yours, maybe a relative. They're saved. You know that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. And while it hurts us in our heart that we either see them in an urn or in a casket, maybe we don't have any kind of showing at all, maybe it's just some sort of celebration of life in the absence of anything that resembles them, so we get sad. But the reality is if we know that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're in heaven. Amen? That's a glad and glorious day. Thank you, Jesus, for that, man. Wow. We're going to be celebrating the resurrection series, and that's crazy because it was like 97 days ago. I counted them. You can double check me on my math. I didn't use that AI to do it. I did it myself. But 97 days ago, we celebrated the great joy of the birth of Christ. Isn't it just crazy? Like, you know, 97 days ago, just like so fast. And then 21 days from today, 21 days, counting, look at your calendar, right? We will celebrate with great joy the resurrected Christ. Amen? Man, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life that we might have life, and not only life, but joy also in this life. Isn't that awesome? We got to find joy. I hope today you found joy on the way in today. I hope that somebody else's driving habits didn't distract you, and I pray that your driving habits, well, you know, didn't distract somebody else and cause them to lose faith and hope. But in fact, Jesus himself says in John 15, talking about joy, it's on the screen this morning, he says this in John 15, he says, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." And I want to say it this way again, but I want to add just a little bit of context to it. He says this, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy," we're talking about the joy of Jesus Christ, he says, "may remain in you, that your joy," personally, each and every one of us that are in Christ, "may be full." Think about that. Full. If you ain't full of joy today and you've got room in your tank for more, then we need to get closer to Christ today. We need to get closer to him. We need to connect with him more. We need to get less blue screen and more of Jesus Christ. Amen? We should be full of joy. You remember the story when the lady needed the oil to pay some bills, and the prophet said, "Get all the jars that you can, find them," and she went and gathered all that she could. You know how much oil she got? As many jars as she collected. And as she collected more, she'd have got more oil. We can be filled with Christ, and right now many of us are only filled with as many jars as we bring to Jesus. You know what I mean? Some of us only brought a couple. They said, "Well, I need a little bit. You know, I'm not going to be doing much this week. I don't need much joy." We don't know what you're doing this week. I ain't called you yet, okay? You might be doing a whole lot, right? In chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a man, if you know, if you've been studying the Bible at all, was a man who led the third group of Israelites out of the Babylonian captivity, returning to Jerusalem. Nehemiah's group, they rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. It had been destroyed. But the first group that went from them was led by Zerubbabel, and that group began to rebuild the temple. So the first group that left the Babylonian captivity, they went and rebuilt the temple. The temple had been destroyed in 586 B.C. by the Babylonians. Then Ezra the priest led the second group out of Babylon. Ezra instituted reforms when he went back to Jerusalem, and he led that second group and took care of that. First, you had the temple built, then you institute reforms. Makes sense, right? And finally, Nehemiah, he led that third group out of the Babylonian captivity into Jerusalem. And as I stated a moment ago, he rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. Now, I went on a squirrel trail just for a minute, but I'm going to get back to my point I was trying to make. That's what happens when you ask a pastor or somebody who has studied Old Testament a question, ask my bride, you get more answer than you really bargained for. But back to my point, Nehemiah, he led that third group of Israelites out of Babylonian captivity. In chapter 8 of Nehemiah, Ezra the priest read the law of Moses to the Israelite people. They hadn't really had the whole law read to them in so long. They'd been in captivity for 70 years plus because they had to rebuild the temple. They had to do some reform and put the wall. So he reads Ezra reads the law for the first time for some of them, maybe hearing the whole thing. So he read the law, and afterward, he said unto them, it's on the screen, this is so beautiful. He says to the people, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. Now we're talking about being full today, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our power. And then Jesus, right, he builds on this Old Testament proclamation in John 15 on the screen saying, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can be filled with it. Just as we're filled with the Holy Spirit today, and I say this today, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit in a way that you can't overcome sickness and sadness or whatever it might be in your life, now I'm not saying that if you've got some sort of defect in your body or sickness in your body that if somehow God doesn't heal it miraculously, you don't believe, but I'm just saying if you can't overcome emotionally that you have that you still can't trust in God in the middle of it, then come on, bring some more Holy Spirit into your life. There's room to be full. Jesus says, I'm going to give it to you so much, it's going to be flowing over. I'm going to tamp it down. I'm going to get on the bunk bed and drop on it. You know, I'm going to jump. I'm going to mash it. How much do you want? You want more? He says, get on the floor. I'll come down with a leg drop. I'll give you all you want. And joy is the same way. How much joy you want in your life? How much joy? Amen. I heard that over there. Every bit of it, right? Every bit of it. And if you're a Bible-believing Christian, I can pray right now as each and every one of us are here, maybe someone listening online, that you are filled with the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen? That reminds me, as I was working on this part of it yesterday, a Chris Tomlin song that goes like this. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We should be joyful today.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy.
Say hallelujah right now at the joy of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been in this resurrection series. You ain't even heard about what's happening next week. Now, we ain't going to have no laser beams or nothing like that, so please come back. Don't worry about that. But in yet another song, believers are called to have joy, joy, joy down in their heart. Where? Down in their heart, right? You know that song. Got to have joy. I'm telling you, if you're here on Sunday morning and you don't have joy, you need to throw out whatever you brought in and bring in joy in your life.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay.
This is where I break it down. I like this. You got to have some joy today. Let me tell you right now. You got joy this morning?
Amen.
If a pastor can be a clown, you can have fun in this town. Amen? And if you're home in bed sick today and you got all blue, you need to get up. Or if you turn this on and listen to it later, you're going to miss out why you're laughing, right? And we have this joy. Why? Right? Why do we have it? Because we were made to thrive with joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, because anything is possible. Y'all know this song too, right? You're going to sing this four times, right? Don't forget it now. You've been at the rail.
Faith unsinkable, love unstoppable.
Give us that volume, Levi.
Anything possible, joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable. Anything is possible, joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable.
Praise the Lord with your hands today. Y'all didn't know I could sing, huh? Yeah? Did pretty good. People online are like, wow, you did really good. Well, the Old Testament, I'm wore out. Do we have intermission here today or no? Okay. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament collectively, they voice to us as believers a certain joy that is really unspeakable. And when we think of the, bless you back there, of a joy unspeakable, we think about a joy that words cannot express. It's a joy that can't even be expressed. Like, you know, I was talking to Brother David to St. John back there. When I tell people how much the Lord has blessed me and how much joy he's brought into my life, that's only a picture of what he's done. Right? It doesn't speak to the emotion and volumes of what he's done for me. I can only tell you what he did, but that ain't as good as what he did, right? I can tell you about my vacation. I've said this before, but it ain't as good as my vacation, right? That's the kind of joy, right? And somebody says, but Pastor Dave is always the butt Pastor Dave. I get them all the time. Sometimes email, sometimes text message, sometimes it's Facebook, sometimes it's in person. I like in person better. But somebody says, Pastor Dave, it's hard to find joy in a world that is serving up hatred. Well, that's really, for me, I think anyways, all the more reason to have joy in our heart, right? For Jesus said in another part of John 15, it's on the screen, he says that the world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. Hatred in this world is a hatred towards heaven, not towards us. Somebody said, you understand, my neighbor really hates me. That if your neighbor really hates you, and I'm not trying to speak on God's behalf, but I'm just telling you what it says in John's letters. If your neighbor hates you that bad, then he hates God. Because the Bible says, John says, that we can't hate God and love our neighbor and be right with God, and we can't hate our neighbor and love God and be right with God. We've got to have love for both. Now, can we have, you know, some contention between us? Yeah, that's always good to have contention. I grew up with that. That's why I have amnesia all the time, right? Guys, whoop my butt. But there's a certain hatred towards heaven, and because of that, Jesus' message is still right for today because of that. It's perfect for today. It's still right in the present hour. It remains to be a message of joy for each and every one of us, one to share in tracts, share in preaching and telling stories and planting seeds this resurrection, or as the world will say, this Easter season. Debbie and I talk about the times that I was able to share with Rocky about the testimony of Jesus Christ and him coming to the saving knowledge of it, you know, and I'm not saying that I did that, God did that, Christ did that, but it's conversations, it's seed planting, it's watering, it's working around the tree. In Mark, I believe it is, there's a discussion about, you know, cutting the dead tree down, you know, because it's not producing anything. But I say, no, Lord, don't cut it down yet. Let me dig around it. I put some fertilizer in there, you know, I put a little love in it, and I put a little water around it. Give me some time, come back and we'll see. And bear some fruit, right? And that's what I say. We got to find people. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, Lord, just give them another moment. Let us speak another word to them. Amen? Let us talk to them. Let us bring joy into life. Don't let them be in this messed up state, right? Because joy is still right for the present hour. Are you with me today? Right? Jesus' message didn't somehow deteriorate over the ages. It's not a message of somberness, one of futility, fear, or dread. Jesus' selfless ambition, that's what it is, remains right throughout the ages. Now, what does selfless ambition mean? It means that Jesus was determined to meet the needs of humanity despite his royalty. That's what it means. It means that he was willing to meet the needs of humanity despite his royalty. Jesus thought of us even when we were not thinking of him. So if you're listening online today, if you're here and you can't find joy in your life, trust me, Jesus knows that he's waiting to hear from you. He's waiting. He's not so high up that he cannot hear. He's not so far away that he won't come near. Are you with me today? God is so good. We need him. Selfless ambition, we need him. Because when I think about, I like the word selfless ambition, because when I think about Christ, for me, the life of Christ, his determination to meet and to satisfy our needs as a people, I can't help but to think of the death of Christ, because what a sin-filled world needed was a Savior, right? A sin-filled world needed it. And for 4,000 years from creation to Christ, God had been working his plan to redeem humanity from fallenness. And that's a beautiful story. Thank you, Jesus. He never gave up. The pit was not so deep that he couldn't reach down to find us. And I love it. For 4,000 years, God had been preparing his people for the unveiling of his plan to redeem us from sin. Thank you, Jesus, for sending my grandparents. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the people who talked to me. Thank you, Jesus, for sending those who evangelized to me. Amen. I hope that we thank him for you too. And again, for me, when I think about the resurrection series, I think here about Christ that this exemplifies the marvelous God that we have, a God who would not allow his people to fail themselves, who by his very nature being the personification of joy sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. Thank you, Lord. Joy unspeakable, right? I'm ready to rock and roll. Joy unstoppable. I tell everybody I meet, you know, I live my first half of my life living like hell, and I'm going to live the last life serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And as Mercy Me would say, and we're not playing this one, right? That's not good news. It's the best news ever. Amen? I remember when that song first came out, I said, not good news, the best news ever. I'm offended by that. And the more I listened to the song and the more I thought about it, I said, well, that ain't good news. That's the best news ever. I said, I kind of like that song. I think they nailed it. I think I was wrong. Write that down. I was wrong. Okay? That'd be like number 600, right? Since the very beginning of this year, following our Christmas celebration, we have been working our way through John chapter 1, where we read that Jesus is God, right? Remember that if you've been here or listening online. We read Jesus is God, that all things were created through him, and that in him is life, right? Now think about that, life, right? The Bible says that the life of man is in the blood. That's what it says in Deuteronomy. The blood is the lifeline of the flesh. And so what does that mean, I think, for us when they say the life is in the blood in the Old Testament, but then in Jesus is life, right? Because so many people I talk to get stumbled on that, you know? Say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection. He is the one that gives us life and joy. Then we always got somebody who online doesn't know anything about the Bible, read one verse one day, it popped up on their screen, and it said, the blood is in the life. So what does that mean? It means that the blood sustains the very physical life that we have, the life of the human body for all of us, for both the saved and the unsaved. The life is in the blood. There's no doubt about that. The blood is the transport system by which every organ and tissue receives nutrients and oxygen, right? So for this earthly tent, Paul would call it, that I carry around, that my soul's been lugging around for 58 years, right? The life of this failing body, this ugly face, right? Life is in the blood. This morning I was up there and I told Levi, I said, I'm getting fat. Then I said, I think I arrived. I don't even think I'm getting fat. I think I already made it. Life is in the blood, man. I don't like, man. I'm getting a transfusion someday when I'm in heaven. I don't like it. It's in the blood. But the soul of man is the lifeline of eternal hope. Once the body fails, the blood stops. There's only death for the unsaved. There's only death for them. There is no joy. But for the soul that is saved, there is, as Jesus grants, life eternal and joy unspeakable. Amen? It's what John the Baptist announces. Jesus approached the Jordan River. Behold, the Lamb of God. What a beautiful thing. The Lamb of God. He said that taketh away the sin of the world. That's joy unspeakable, joy that words alone cannot express, that Christ has come into the world, removing the stain left by sin. Christ was a sinless man, his blood untainted by sin. Therefore, in him is life and life eternal. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can remove the sin stain because his blood is pure. It's without sin. Are you with me this morning? Yesterday evening, my bride and I were on a video call with our granddaughter, Emmy. She'll be mad I used her name, but that's okay. She's always mad. And Emmy likes to put makeup on and talk on the phone, which I don't understand that, but that's okay, because I don't even like her wearing makeup. But, you know, we're 800 miles apart, so that's fine. So during our conversation, she had a nice shirt on that she wanted to wear. Some company was coming over, and she got, like, some mascara or something on it, put a black mark on it, so she's all befuddled. She's upset, and I don't get it, right? Guys like us, we just, you know, do like that, you know. It might smudge, but who cares? Our friends probably got the same kind of shirt on. I mean, that's no big deal. But she's really upset about it, you know, and it's like, oh, man, I was going to wear the shirt. I really want to wear the shirt. And Grammy, you know, who Grammy's always got the answer, she said, get the Tide stick. You know, that's the answer right there. You know, just go ahead and get the Tide stick, you know, and wipe it off. And so Emmy asked her mom, do we have a Tide stick, right? In humanity, in this life, we have a stain-removing agent for about everything, don't we? For makeup stain, maybe it's a Tide stick, right? For a grass stain, you can shout it out, right? Let's get it out of there, right? Yell at it and make it flush right out. You know, we got, you know, whatever that stain is, we got bleach and OxyClean, we got Gooby Gone, right? We got everything, right? We got degreasers and agents, we got Dawn, we clean ducks with Dawn, right? Have oil spill, boom, gone, clean them up, put them away. Good, right? And then, of course, we got my favorite one when I was growing up as a kid, and we're running over on time because I talk too much, but that's fine. When I was a kid, I loved the commercial on scrubbing bubbles. That always cracked me up, right? They're scratching all over that bathtub. Wow, those guys are fast, you know? And I say, well, he says, you know, you know the song? Do you know it, first of all? Raise your hand if you know it, right? Yeah, okay. And those scrubbing bubbles as they're moving around the tub, you know, they start going on the drain. He said, we work hard so you don't have to. It's like, wow, they're gone. But they work hard so you don't have to. Now, this is a, I want to just give this, this is here, just, you know, side note. They don't work that well. But anyway, it was a great commercial. But it really, I'm not going any further on that one. But anyway, I don't know about you, but I've never found trying to remove a stain very joyful. Found no joy in it whatsoever. But I did find joy when Jesus removed mine. Found all kinds of joy. And regardless of the potion or remedy, only Jesus can take away the sin that is, a stain that is left by sin. Because he works hard so you don't have to. I like that commercial even more now. That's the gospel, right? Selfless ambition. The selfless ambition of Christ. And if you've been a part of our Wednesday night Bible study, over the last 16 weeks or so, we've been in Cana with Christ, right? We went to Cana, you know, turned the whole water to wine thing. I love that part of Scripture. We went to the temple, reading how Jesus lectured those that dishonored his father's house. We listened to Jesus explain what it means to be born again. I love that. We met a woman at the well. We observed a nobleman's faith. We sat around the pool of Bethesda, how great that was, as Jesus healed this lame man. He said, get up and pick up your bed and walk. I love that. And there was just so much more that we could talk about. But for the lack of time, we've yet to even be able to get into the feeding of the 5,000, to observe the walking on water, a blind man receiving his sight, and Lazarus being called forth to come out of that tomb, right? I mean, time would fail us. It's so beautiful. But our pace doesn't change the church calendar. It just doesn't. And the calendar doesn't determine our joy. It only exemplifies it, reminding us of the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. And so here we are, 21 days away, before we celebrate the empty tomb, the resurrected Christ. I love that. But we all must wonder that before we can resurrect Christ, he must be first crucified, right? But in order for Christ to be crucified, he must be first arrested and wrongly convicted. The upper room experience. But before all this can happen, the religious rulers must reach a breaking point with Christ, a point where they decide that for the love of God, Christ must die. It's almost like we can faintly hear the voice of Jesus saying, I must die so you don't have to. And I love that. I love that when we come to the resurrection series, knowing that Jesus died so I wouldn't have to. And that's what really brings us to today. We find ourselves at a place on the Christian calendar where the religious rulers have begun to plot. They are plotting to kill Jesus, but for what? What are they plotting to kill him for? Well, pretty much for every good thing that he did. The religious rulers didn't have joy unspeakable. They didn't have joy, joy, joy down in their heart. They didn't stand up and lift their hands, for the joy of the Lord was not their strength, because they clung to the crippling effects of the law. And because of the hard-heartedness of the religious rulers toward the good works of Christ, because of his miracle, they didn't like that, his healings, his teaching, his love, his forgiveness, his offering of hope, and anything that you can add to that stack, the deck, fill it up like joy. For these good things, because God had sent his son to earth, manifested in the likeness of man, born in the household of Joseph and Mary, for these things and many more, the religious rulers plotted to kill the one that came to save them all. Does that make sense? It does not make sense. And somebody says, but Pastor Dave, there's another one of those, right? I always get them all the time. They said, you are sort of embellishing a little bit the story of Christ, right? No one would kill a person for doing good, right? That's the world out there. Oh, nobody would kill somebody for doing good. You know, they must not have a TV set. But anyway, I'm going to push back on that just a little bit. That's what I have to do every time, right? I have to push back on it, you know, and give it a simple example. Because after the death of Jesus, the death of his friend Lazarus, for 4 days he sat inside of a tomb. And after that death, right, after Lazarus had been declared dead, Jesus came to the tomb where he was laid, and with one short command, Lazarus, come forth. Remember that from Scripture? One short command, Lazarus, come forth. Death surrendered and Lazarus walked out of that tomb. Just before all of this, And for you and I, if we trust Christ Jesus, if we have already believed in our heart, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, for us, when our body fails, when our blood stops in this life, we have been, when we've taken our last breath, Jesus has already commanded us from the grave to come forth. Paul says, absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And this same example, Lazarus' example, this example of him, the transformation from death to life, it's this example which really it was witnessed by many. It was this example of doing good that perpetuated the following verses. Because many people saw what Jesus did with raising Lazarus, right? And wow, that was pretty much something. And some were like, wow, what's all that about? And it's what perpetuated the following verses in John 11:45-48. It's on the screen. And the scripture says, after that, it says, and many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. That is the calling forth of Lazarus. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together. What are we going to do? They asked each other. This man certainly performs many miraculous signs, and if we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Then the Roman army will come and will destroy both our temple and our nation. What just happened, right? The scripture says that eyewitnesses, people who saw the very resurrection of Lazarus, for the lack of joy, fueled by selfish motivation, some went and told the religious rulers what Jesus had done in a negative context. And while the religious rulers acknowledged the miracles, it says in the text they acknowledged them, right? In good works of Christ, they were concerned that his life-changing joy, the very happiness that he was bringing to people, might cause them to believe in him. They admitted the things that he did. They said, this might make them believe in him. The religious rulers were concerned that people would believe that he was the Christ, and rather than embracing the joy for the moment because of their selfish motivations, they feared losing their status as the religious elite. Which leads us to John 11:49-50, and the worship team, you can come on up. Because right after this, the scripture says, then Caiaphas, who was the high priest at the time, said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it's better for you that one man should die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed. So from that time on, the Jewish leaders began to plot Jesus' death. But how, literally, how were they going to bring charges against, this is just me thinking, I watch crime shows, how are they going to bring charges against a man that is only guilty? He's only guilty of doing good, according to the religious rulers. How are they going to get a grand jury to indict a man for granting grace, right? How are they going to conjure conviction against a law-abiding Lord? How are they going to manipulate the magistrate against a man, right? A very man on earth who his merciful ways help people. How are they going to invoke a death penalty against a man who offered everlasting life? How are they going to fabricate fallacy against a man who forged forgiveness? That's a lot of stuff. Will selfish motivation win out against selfless ambition? Well, if you want to find out, you got to come back next week. He must die. Why? Guess for doing good. No one doubted he healed the withered hand in the temple. No one doubted he fed the 5,000. Never read a book that said he didn't feed 4,000. Ever read a book that said he didn't bring Lazarus from the grave? The tabloids didn't write about it. The blank blank Times didn't write about it. The blank blank Journal didn't put an editorial to it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of joy for each and every one of us. And I pray today that as you exit out from this building, that if your cup is not running over with joy, that it'll begin to run over. They say, but Pastor Dave, my cup is full. But sometimes we say my plate is full, right? That's the American way. We like to eat. You say, my plate is full. What is some stuff you shouldn't have on that plate?
There's some stuff that shouldn't be in that cup. Let it out. Get your calendar out. Schedule negativity out of here. Bad feelings, gone. Arguing with my neighbors, not this week. Get all that stuff. Erase it, delete, or whatever you got, right? Tear the page out and throw it in the trash can. And say, Lord, I just want to have joy this week. Maybe I can't pay the bills. That's okay. I got you, right? I'm going to die and I'm going to go to heaven. The electric company just have to live without it, right? God is good, amen? Let me say a prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this day. You're beautiful. You're awesome. Be with us as we exit here today. Be filled with joy, complete in you, just sharing the manifested love that you give us. Lord, let us show it to the world, to our families, with grace and with mercy and with love and with peace. And let us be evangelists in all that we do, in work, in attitude, and in deed. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing one more song.